afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Tuesday, July 17th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine, as always.
Of course.
And yourself? You're doing good?
I'm doing well. I really am. No complaints. It's just hot, but I'd rather have hot over cold anytime, so I'm fine.
Well, I do have a complaint today.
What's your complaint?
My complaint is what they're doing to gold and silver. It is
just another
bloody day in the market, and it's just, the only thing that I truly see is, pretty much the strength in the dollar. The markets are up a little bit. The Dow did get up over 25. And, on the heels of the Russian summit, it is just, to me, whether you believe the news or not, regardless of what side you're on, regardless of where you fit into the scheme of things, with everything that has happened with his overseas trip, it just is beyond reality of, these markets just ignoring everything.
Yes.
And that truly is a signal of, truly, I believe everyone is just, none of these markets are working properly. None of these markets are functioning the way they're supposed to. It's all an illusion. And so, again, they hit gold once again today. It was down $1,220 at $1,229. Silver, another thing, down 21 cents at $15.66. Platinum was down 4 at $822. Palladium was down 7 at $916. So again, they're hitting the commodities market. You have a stronger dollar. And the dollar was up 0.48 at $94.97. They can't continue strengthening the dollar. And, it's going to offset. All you hear about is, the trade deficits. Well, a stronger dollar is only going to make those deficits bigger. So whether that's what their plan is, to show that the deficit's getting bigger in order to put stronger tariffs on things to sort of get what I don't know anymore, because it's just, even when things didn't make sense, you could still follow a few of the dots to put some sort of a scenario together. And we certainly don't see any of that today. So that's the only thing I could say is why they're looking to strengthen the dollar. And I want to thank Rick Volrath yesterday, Pastor Butch. He comes on at 5 o'clock after my 4 o'clock show on Mondays, and he reminded me that a couple of weeks ago I had talked about, we know that Russia, it was pulling back and on their purchases of treasuries along with China,
right.
and they were dumping their treasuries, and shortly thereafter there was all of this talk about a summit. So, what really is the whole meaning, the meaning of these meetings that we've seen of late, both in Europe and in Russia, and is it really behind the dollar? And
the good news of all this you covered so far, and I mean this, I wish I were a wealthy man, because now's the time to buy gold and silver. Now is the time. It's a bargain basement price. And if I were a rich man, I'd pass a lot to you, because I'd love to be able to buy some gold and silver right now.
Everybody knows you want to buy low and sell high. And we are at this moment in time where people are, they don't want to have anything to do with gold because of, what we've seen happen.
But now's the time to buy, because it's going to go up.
Now's the time to buy.
Now's the time to buy.
Absolutely correct.
I had a guy who used to drive race cars. He made money at it once in a while, but he said his strategy was this. It may sound crazy, but it worked for him. He said, when I'm going into a sharp turn and everybody else is slowing down, I speed up. I passed them while they're going around the turn. Now I thought, well, good for you if you hang in the road. But that was his strategy. When everybody's slowing down for a road hazard, I speed up. Well, we'll call this a road hazard. Speed up. Grab all you can get right now.
Absolutely. Because there isn't anything that's truly changed. And, you know, sure, we see a little strength in the economy. We don't know how much of that is true or not. You know, I was reading a report from CEOs are dumping stock in their companies. You know, they've, we'll talk about that in a little bit. You know, we've had the buyback boom. It's such a distorted market. You know, all the good things are coming back from these, you know, corporations, these companies buying back their stocks. Economies are being stimulated by central banks and governments around the world. So what are these economies truly doing? Take their money away, adjust the rates to where they should be. And let's just see, and these CEOs, corporate companies quit buying back their shares. Where do you think we would be? And I'll guarantee you, it's not as, there's no signals of a strong economy. And yet I talk to people every day that are very they're very positive of this administration, of President Trump, and they just think, you know, this is great that the dollar is getting stronger. They just think it's great that everybody is so busy, that this economy, is the GDP is going to be reading at 4% this quarter. And it's just like, but don't you see anything else? No, they don't.
No, they don't. And, no, they don't.
No.
Well, you know,
and
but that is... Go ahead. I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but they're talking about the gold and silver. Now, this is just my thought. Right now, and I'm going to cover it in a minute, nations are starting to hoard gold. Mm-hmm. You think this could be a strategy to get the price down so the wealthy could buy more at a better price?
Absolutely. I mean, we know all the time China does it, did it to the soybeans. They would hammer the price so the price would go low, and we know how much soybeans China purchases. And then they go in there and scoop them up.
Yep.
China is a hoarding country. They have billions of people to feed and to take care of. So, yes, absolutely, governments do that.
Well, the reason I say that is, there's an article here entitled Everybody's Hoarding Gold. I'd like to read part of it because I think it's important. It fits in what you're saying. And believe me, folks, now's the time to buy. I don't care if you got $100 or $20,000 or $30,000. What have you got? Now's time to buy it. But I'm going to butcher these names, but I'll do the best to get them right. Tokenbek Abagulov of Kyrgyz Central Bank has stated that any currency, whether dollars, rubles, or yuan, has become too vulnerable. The small mountain nation, with a population of 6 million, relies heavily on Russian and Chinese imports. With the possibility of global trade war on the horizon, Kyrgyzstan prefers to protect its financial stability by massing gold. It suffered during the ruble devaluation in 2015, and is turning to gold as a hedge against any economic upheaval. Kyrgyzstan is merely following in the steps of other larger nations such as Russia and India and Turkey, who are also increasing the gold reserves. The U.S. and Germany both have reserves that are 70% of its central bank holdings. If there's a trade war, countries are prepared. Gold has traded steadily and unspectacularly for the past decade, but looming tariffs and trade sanctions have pushed gold out of the doldrums and into the spotlight. Maybe not so much financial, but nations and wealthy people understand gold and silver are the only real commodities to deal with as an international basis or a national, their local basis as far as real value. So I do believe, in my opinion, is that they're driving the prices down so people like these folks here can buy more for less.
Absolutely.
Than the dollar, and then sell it later on for 3 or 4 times the price of it is right now.
Absolutely. The only thing that was wrong with the article is they said it's a real commodity, but it's real money. And that's what people understand.
Money. Yes.
It's real money. And so absolutely, because there's absolutely no reason gold should be going down at this moment. None whatsoever. Not with all the friction and possibilities of these trade wars of, you know, whatever's going to come out of D.C. with Putin. And it is truly remarkable that these markets have not been affected in any way in that they're doing what they're doing. So gives people an opportunity to do what you have to do to convert that paper into some real money.
Do it now. Do not
do
wait.
It
do it now. If I had some to spare, believe me, I'd be doing it right now. I really and truly would. I would jump on both feet and thrilled to get it, because I've seen this happen before, Melody. The price drop, people sell it, it goes back up, and they start buying again. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
You buy it while it's down and sell it when it's high. Not in reverse, but I've talked to enough gold dealers, and you're the main one, that told me people buy it when the price is up. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. And, you know, people, you know, particularly now that you see these, you know, the higher prices for the Dow, NASDAQ, and the S&P, they think this economy is great. And, they reflect on gold because they've been told by their financial planners that gold is something in just, you know, doomsday scenarios. No, it isn't.
No, it is not.
No, it is not.
No. No, it's not. That's insane. But that is what, as long as people believe that, they're going to remain in the same boat they're in now, and with playing with paper. And paper is paper. Paper means nothing when it comes to real value. Paper is paper. Even what we call greenback, we call our money system, is worth nothing of its own. If we didn't think it was worth something, it'd be worth nothing. Gold and silver, people intrinsically know that gold and silver are worth something. And I would think that'd be common sense for most people. But unfortunately, it obviously isn't.
The only thing I could say today that might have been a reflection on gold is we saw Bitcoin up almost 10%. And I'll tell you what, if people are converting their dollars because they're scared and they're putting it into Bitcoin, you just almost, I mean, if you have disposable income and you want to play, that's one thing. But anybody who goes to Bitcoin for safe haven over gold, you'd have to be insane, because then you really don't understand what a market is. Most people don't even understand what Bitcoin is. They just see the price going up. They think it's a good deal, and their financial investor, whoever is selling them the Bitcoin, is telling them it's the greatest thing since popcorn. And there's so much
it's
risk.
It's nothing.
I know.
It's less than paper money.
I know.
It's nothing. It's blips on a computer. Goodness gracious.
Yep.
Anyway.
But let me go ahead and tell you, the Dow was up 55 points today at 25,119. The NASDAQ was up 49 at 7,855. The S&P was up 11 at 2,809. 10-year yield, 2.86%, up 0.01. The euro was 117, down 0.39. And the European markets were basically unchanged overnight. All eyes have been focused on what is your, how do you see the summit between President Putin and President Trump? How do you think that, any opinions on that?
Well, I always have an opinion. It isn't always right, but I always have an opinion. But if you wait, I'll ask Marcia and find out for sure what my opinion is. No, anyway, I do know that there's a lot of hype about this. I'm mostly against Trump and what he did. Now, I am not a Trumpeter. I'm not. But I saw nothing he did that would upset me at all, as far as him calling treasonous. Comey thinks I'd be taken out of office. And it goes on and on and on and on. And it's ridiculous beyond words. The Republicans are turning against him. The Democrats are against him. And I saw nothing that would make me feel that way. This Russian involvement in the election, even if I thought it was true, and I don't. They're blowing it clear out of the water now. Why, for going on almost 2 years, a good year and a half, they've talked about this investigation into campaign hacking and Hillary lost because of what Russia did. Come on, Melody, anyone think common sense and all knows that's just a bunch of hot air. There's nothing to that at all. And everybody wanted him to kind of come down on Putin, I guess, about the hacking. You know, I was thinking that they were surprised when he first met there and he shook their hands and sat down. He didn't ask right away about the hacking. You know, that'd be a good way to enter into a conference or a meeting between two of the most powerful nations in the world. Walk in and say, hey, did you do this? You know, come on, people. The man's got more sense than that. You don't just go in with accusations. Not when you're talking to a power that's equal to yours militarily and in other ways, too. So I saw nothing wrong with it. I would like to think it's going to work out for better relationships between us and Russia. I don't know that. I'm not no means and I'm any type of expert on that. But all this hype about him committing treason and on and on and on of just that, it's hot air. It's nothing. It's trash.
You know what, and I agree with you, but I do have a question. Why does he continue? And I get it. I think he's doing it to throw everybody off. I get that. And what I do have issues with him being behind closed doors with all these leaders with just an interpreter. I don't know if it's been done before. If it has been done before with other presidents, then I guess I wouldn't have an issue with it. But I don't know if that has been done or not. So maybe one of the listeners can let us know. But I don't get, I mean, he like opens the door. And I don't know if he's just playing a game or he just doesn't get it. I don't know if he knows he's opening the door for these attacks.
I don't think he cares.
But then why does he say the things that he did? Because a lot of them you do. I mean, one minute he does say that he believes in the intel, the United States intel.
Right,
the next
right.
minute he says he doesn't. And then the next minute he says he misspeaks. So, I mean, it's just like, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The man doesn't think like, at least not that I've seen, like any other president in my lifetime. He's not playing the game according to everybody's rules. So that could be a good thing. Could be a bad thing. I really don't know.
I don't know.
But I do know that...
But he opens the door for this. And it's
yeah,
just
he,
like,
he does.
And eventually, one of these doors, he's not going to be able to close, is my point.
Well, that's very possible. But, you know, I would think he's a fairly intelligent man. I don't know that. I never met the man personally. But we'll see. I just know this is all this hype is unbelievable. I can't imagine two leaders, even with an interpreter and nobody else around, will be planning some kind of takeover of the world, if you know what I mean. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I can't imagine that would be what they talked about. But
I don't either. But I do believe it's a lot of hype. And ever since he's been in office, whether you agree with him or not, he's been hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered.
Yeah.
If he burps, somebody wants to kick him out of office.
Well, I think he actually, the more he gets hammered, the more I think he enjoys it.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, it's break time already.
No, it isn't. It is.
Yep.
We'll be back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and my co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul. So please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Joining us, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Please make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. I was a little late getting it out this week. It only went out this morning. My apologies. It was a little short also, but maybe I shouldn't announce that on the radio, but I'm honest. And it's a great little newsletter. So make sure you get signed up at dgscoins.com.
And you by the way, if you folks heard discussion going on right before we come back on the air there, Mel is giving me a hard time as usual. But anyway, that's beside the point. I do have covered this one story. It really irks me, and it should anybody out there that has any sense. The Episcopal Church has done two things lately that really should get people, well, done a lot of things in the past, ordaining homosexuals and everything else. That's beside the point on this one. They just came out week four, and said that when Christ called Jesus his father, he's either lying or mistaking because God is gender neutral. That's what they said, but now let's move on to another one. The Episcopal Church has a bishop named Douglas Fisher in Massachusetts, who says that they want to invest $400 million into the gun companies so they could influence the gun companies to do some more to make the children safe. Now, what that means, I don't exactly know. But obviously, if a church can do $400 million into a gun company to influence a company to do something about, we'll say, gun control, they're getting in too much money. I would think that should go to take care of the needy and do what Christ will do with it, not buy into a gun company to try to put their opinions through on the boards of the gun companies. That's just my opinion, Melody. If they oppose guns, that's their business. But if they have $400 million to spend, why not spend on something helping people? And not put in something like this, it would take decades even to start affecting anything. But that's just my opinion. I had to share that. This Episcopal Church, and folks, if you're an Episcopal and you're supporting this bunch of people, shame on you. There you go. I'm done with that one. I'm ready to move on if you are.
All righty.
But I had to share that.
Well, I'm glad you did. Over the weekend, we heard, and I was going to do this briefly, we heard President Trump called the European Union our foe. Mm-hmm. And, he really isn't that far off. I mean, they are, to some degree, a foe. I mean, anybody think they're our ally, and to some degree they are. But, the people in the United Kingdom voted for a Brexit. There was a referendum. They voted, and they wanted to leave the European Union. And I think everybody remembers Tony Blair. He was the former British Prime Minister. And he says it's time for Theresa May to admit there's no way out and call another Brexit referendum. He says it's a total and complete mess. And he held that office for 10 years. And he thinks they need to just re-vote. So forget what the people said the first time. Let's just vote again. Once this thing has been started by a referendum, it can frankly only be finished by a fresh vote, he said. And so again, as the people are, he is strongly opposed to Brexit. He thinks it can still be changed back. And so it'll be interesting to see how that continues.
You mean what the people said the first time doesn't matter?
No.
Just make them do it over again.
Well, let's just do it again. Isn't that the term of
a tyrant? Something like those tyranny, maybe perhaps the right word for that?
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
You know, ignore the people, make them do it again until they get tired of doing it, and then maybe they'll change their mind.
So, you know, I guess it wouldn't hurt to have people like that as a foe. But anyway.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting.
It is interesting. It shows the attitude of the elite of this world, in my opinion. It does.
Absolutely.
You know, speaking of the world and global, the global debt today, according to what it says here, is $247 trillion global debt. Now, that's trillion dollars. That's number so big that I don't think anybody can understand it. They say the household, businesses, and governments borrow on the assumption that they will service their debts either by paying their principal and interest or by rolling over the debts into new loans. But this works only if incomes grow fast enough to make the debts bearable or justify new loans. When those ingredients go missing, delinquencies, defaults, and panics will follow. $250 trillion worldwide debt. Now, that's probably really low. But Melody, how in the world do you comprehend $250 trillion?
Well, you know, I mean, when we talk about our economies, I mean, it's if someone thinks that's sustainable, and, you know, the person I was talking to yesterday, you know, you think the markets are going to crash and we don't have a strong economy because of our debt. They just don't think the debt matters. I don't think they comprehend.
No, they don't. Well, Ron Paul said that we're in the biggest bubble in history, and it's going to burst. He said, look to the stock market, and you'll assume Wall Street was doing just fine. The S&P 500 has come back to March highs. The Dow's back to positive 20 for 2018. The NASDAQ has its fresh records. It's all built on shaky foundations, said longtime market bear and former Republican Congressman Ron Paul. This market is the biggest bubble in history of mankind, and when it bursts, you could cut the stock market in half. I see trouble ahead, and originates with too much debt, too much spending. That's what calls it. Ron Paul's been warned about this for years. I remember he's talked to a bunch of senators, and I can't remember the senator's name. He was also an actor, and he used to advertise reverse mortgages on TV. I can't remember his name. But I remember Ron Paul talking about the fiat currency, and this guy laughing. Laughing at him right in his face, and saying he was nuts. Now, Ron Paul, I met the man one time for a little while. He's a humble type person, a little tiny guy, to tell you the truth. But he's making a lot of sense here, and has been for a long time. Eventually, this is going to burst. And when it does, I think it'll do more than wipe out half the stock market. It'll wipe out about half the population's retirement funds. What's your opinion on that?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, this is the granddaddy of all bubbles. And, you know, the one thing about bubbles is people think that it's going to continue. As to the bubbles is going to keep going and going and going, and there's never going to be a reversal because, you know, our GDP is going to continue to grow, and we're going to be able to work ourselves out of our debt. What planet are you living on? It doesn't happen that way. We have looked and seen various countries at various times around the world that have thought they could do the same thing, and I don't think we're any different. I don't think we're any better. We might have a little bit better technology that allows us to do that, but the bubbles break. And
yes.
It's just a matter of time. And, you know, we talked about the stock market, how you have companies, and I mentioned we were going to talk a little bit about this, where companies have announced that they're steering a record amount of cash into stock buybacks at a rate of more than $5 billion a day.
$5 billion a day.
The buyback boom has been viewed by investors as a sign of confidence. All right. But what do you think they're doing with their own money? They're cashing out. insiders have dumped $8.4 billion of their shares in May and $9.2 billion in June. And this is according to an analysis of regulatory filings by TrimTav's Investment Research. And this is the biggest two-month period of insider trading in a year. They're buying back from the front door and shoveling shares out the back door. I think it is affectionately called pump and dump.
That is really a slick move.
Yes, and and the example that they give here in this article is it'd be like going on TV to tell everyone what stocks we like and then selling them. And it's the same thing that I had a really big problem with Larry Kudlow, and everybody says, oh, Melody, you just sell gold, it doesn't mean anything. No, it does mean something. Larry Kudlow was chosen as President Trump's economic advisor, and he comes out and tells everybody to buy King Dollar and sell gold. The dollar has been rising since then, and gold has been falling since then. That should be illegal. And yet no one says a nary of a word. It isn't any different than the little lady, I can't remember her name, the long-haired blonde that got him elected. I just can't think of her name right now.
Okay, I know you're talking about two, yes.
When she told people to go out and buy Ivanka Trump's clothing. Look at the heat she got for that. That stupid little comment that she innocently said. I don't know if it was innocent or not, but she said it, and everybody made a big deal out of it. She should be fired. And so what do you think? Larry Kudlow comes out and says, buy King Dollar and sell gold. Even if he would have came out and said, buy King Dollar. But no, he told him to sell gold.
Well, you know, again, for people with having sense, that's a boon for us. I'm telling you it is. Now it's a chance to jump in when the prices are down and jump in as hard as you can and hang on for the ride. It may be fun. It could even go lower. But it's sure going to go higher. It's just a matter of time. It isn't if it's going to. It's going to, Melody. It's just a matter of time. Am I right on that?
Absolutely. But so, I just want to give a little bit more of some of these numbers. And yeah, it is the tax cuts that have kind of boosted these corporate executives that have authorized $436 billion of stock buybacks during the second quarter. Almost a half a trillion dollars.
Yes. Amazing.
That nearly doubled the previous record of $242 billion, which was set during the first 3 months of 2018. Apple alone announced plans last quarter for $100 billion in buybacks. You've got these big banks. They're plowing money into repurchases. Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Bank of America. Each one of them said that they would buy back at least $20 billion of their own stocks. It's just amazing. And this is just common knowledge, and everybody thinks it's,
no big deal. Nothing wrong here. The captain's wearing a life jacket now. Don't worry about it. It's fine. You know, no big deal.
And just to finish this up, it's large U.S. companies have become cash machines for the top insiders who run them. In fact, insider selling accelerates immediately after buybacks are unveiled. That's why it's probably hanging out at the 25,000, because as soon as it gets to a certain number, everybody sells. So when they go in there buy back their shares, the insider selling accelerates. And this was according to a recent SEC analysis, but they don't do anything about it. I mean, the study found that in 2017 and early 2018, the percentage of insiders selling stock more than doubled immediately after buyback announcements. So right after the company tells the market that the stock is cheap, executives overwhelmingly decide it's time to sell. I mean, it's just... it's maddening. it's not reality. It's not real.
It's in your face, and people still don't see it. It's unbelievable. Well, maybe this might be on the bright side. If you live in Chicago, There's an alderman named Amelia Paywar wants to be the largest city in the U.S. to offer the universal basic income for people that are losing their job because of automation in different situations. Tesla, Amazon, Uber, and others are, you know, are cutting back on long-haul trucking jobs, which is, she said it was a middle-class employment job for the people could do. So it means more people are going to be out of work. So she wants to do the UBI in Chicago. Now, Melly, this is starting to be mentioned in different places, as you know already. It's been tried in other places and failed miserably. But for some reason, everybody else thinks it's going to work for them. It's like you said about America. Well, fiat currency failed in other places. It's going to work for us, though. They never learn. But Chicago is going to be is going to try the UBI income. And I just keep wondering, where are they going to get the money to do that? If they can't afford to pay the bills now, where are they going to find the money to pay it? A basic income where nobody has to do anything to earn it, just breathe.
Well, the UBI is coming out because, you know, people don't have enough money to provide for their essential needs. And with the UBI, it just gives them a little bit more, and hopefully it covers what their needs. Why doesn't anybody ask why they don't have enough money to provide for their needs? Why don't anybody ask why there isn't a job that pays enough to provide for their essential needs if they're not working? So, you know, and at one time I read that article too, and at one time they talked about that it used to be a stigma that was associated with any type of need-based programs. And we saw that with the food stamps. They don't call them food stamps anymore.
Yes. Yes.
You know, they gave them a credit card, everybody thinks that they're, so they want to remove that stigma.
The people got on what we call welfare when I was growing up. Sometimes, and a lot of them probably couldn't help it. They needed it right at the time. But a lot of people kind of figured that they were lazy. And sometimes it's very true. They were lazy. They didn't want to work. You know, I can name names on that, obviously. But, there was a stigma about that. People had a little bit of self-worth and a little bit of work and pride back then. They wanted to provide for themselves. They were independent and wanted to stay that way. That quality in America as a whole is lost now, Melody. People don't really care about who feeds them now, as long as they're fed. But there was a time when American people liked the idea of being self-sufficient and self-governing, I guess you could say. But that's kind of went to the wayside.
It certainly has. And you know what this program does? It pays $500 a month, would be delivered to 1,000 Chicago families, no strings attached. Let them go out and pick up trash or something somewhere, you know, for the city, or mow down the site, you know, mow the grass in the park. I mean, there's tons of things to think, but anyway, there's no strings attached. Additionally, the proposal would modify the Earned Income Tax Credit program for the same 1,000 families, so they'd receive payments on a monthly basis instead of the end of the year. This is a process that is known as smoothing. So that enables families to integrate the tax credit into their monthly budgets. And it's like, so they change it. They change the, so they won't be using UBI anymore. You know, because everybody thinks that that's just it's not going to be favored, I think, in the future or whatever. So they'll change it. They'll call it a tax credit.
Make it sound better. Yeah.
Make it sound better. And everybody will get fooled, just like the Affordable Care Act. But ladies and gentlemen, we're heading into a break. We'll be right back right after these few short messages. And thank you for joining us today.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value. value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. You want to talk about China, do you not?
I do. I think this is kind of important. I really do. Says China refinery replaces U.S. imports with Iranian crude. Now, that can make a difference. Independent Chinese refiner suspended crude oil purchases from the United States has now turned to Iran as one of the sources of crude. Media reports cited an official from the refinery, Dongming Petrochemical Groups, as saying. The group, the source said that Beijing is planning to slap tariffs on U.S. crude oil imports, replace them with West African and Middle Eastern crude, including crude from Iran. Said China's already said that will not comply with U.S. sanctions against Iran, and it seems to be the only country for now in a position to do this. So, I don't know, Melody. I mean, I don't know where you are, but gasoline went up a few cents the last couple of days here in our state. It's right at $3 a gallon right now, $2.89 a gallon. And it was $2.85 just a couple of days ago. Now, that's getting up close to $3 a gallon, and it's not a record high, of course, but that's a really a high price over the last several years. So maybe I don't know if it plays with this or not, but apparently there's something going on with the oil industry that to keep inching the price up a couple cents every few days or every few weeks. So I don't know. Do you have an opinion on that? What's going on there?
Well, we did see crude oil drop significantly here in this past week to 5 to 10 days. So I would expect to see some gasoline prices, start inching their way down.
But I wonder why it's inching up, though. If crude's coming down, why is prices going up?
It's just a lag. To me, it's just a lag. You have these gas stations and so forth. They buy at a certain price, and they have to sell it at a certain price. So, until they go back in and they hedge themselves and so forth, they're going to get what they were going to need. So, you never really see, on the downside, you never see, the changes immediately. Now, on the upside, you do.
That's very true.
The change is immediate, but not on the downside. But I would expect to start seeing, we're in the height of the summer season again, that might keep the prices a little bit higher, particularly after there were so many drivers through the July 4th holiday weekend or week, that many people took off. So we'll have to see where it continues to go. But what's interesting is oil prices started to drop. They really started to run up for several reasons, and they seemed to turn around after Trump had, said to the Saudis, lower those oil prices. I don't know if that's what made them begin to come down. We had Mnuchin come out and say that they were going to have waivers for various countries who deal with Iran. If they buy oil from Iran, they were going to have waivers so they wouldn't be sanctioned, because there was threats that anybody who bought oil from Iran would be sanctioned. So they're easing up on that. So maybe that is why we're seeing a little bit of the oil prices to come down. Because I think that was the big impact on why the prices were rising, because we threatened countries. You know, we're going to slap you with sanctions if you buy from Iran. Well, we can't be telling countries who they can buy oil from. So,
well, America has gotten a little big for britches over the last several decades, and it's starting to come back to haunt us some. I know it is. You know, back to the trade war, though, I don't know. Now, I am not into shipping. I don't understand all this, you know, the Baltic Dry Index and all that. I just sometimes check it out and what's going on. But the world's largest shipping company collapses as trade war reality strikes. Now, this, I would assume, will be a big email. I mean, you know, I'm sure you're much more informed this than I am. But while U.S. equity markets have remained resilient in the context of rising protectionist fears, the world's largest shipping company is seeing its stock eviscerated as investor anxiety over trade wars finds an outlet that makes rational sense. AP Motor Musk AS may struggle to make a profit this year after the U.S. and China descended into a trade war that is really showing stress in sentiment surveys. I don't understand all this. I just know that obviously shipping and is an important, crucial role for nations to have to move goods back and forth. But I suppose they're thinking that the trade is going to slow down because of trade wars. Do you think this is something that people should be concerned about? I mean, the largest company in the world is not making a profit this year. That's a shipping company in the world. Not making a profit this year. I mean, just what's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, I think sometimes when, you know, all these, we have so many opinions on the tariffs and how they're going to affect this, how they're going to, I think it's a matter of the degree of time. You know, everyone's trying to, you know, have the opinion and the prediction that's correct. But I think there's always a length of time that it takes for things to filter through. I mean, certainly you can have knee-jerk reactions through various reports and you know, but I think so far what we've heard, we didn't have any too many knee-jerk reactions, because it was one minute there was tariffs, the next minute there wasn't, and you know, and I mean, it was so back and forth. I'm not sure anybody really knows what exact tariffs are on and what are off at this point in time and how everyone will be affected. But I did see a comment from farmers. We talked about this before, where farmers are sticking behind Trump even though they are being affected by the soybean farmers because of the impact from the China's response to the soybeans. So, but they think it was something that was needed, and they're willing to take the hit because they think it's good for this country. So, again, it's, you know, but there's signs. It's a sign.
Well,
you know, it's that 2x4 flying through the air that should be hitting people in the head, that if things were so great and everything was under control, you wouldn't have these situations. So,
that's very true. Very, very true. And a different direction, but in kind of, I think, interesting topic. Under Obama, there was a legislation passed called the FAST Act. Was supposed to be had $300 billion earmarked for infrastructure repairs. Well, that didn't really take place too much, obviously. But in that bill that passed so quickly under Obama through that, you know, through the Senate and House, the IRS has a right to revoke people's passports if they owe money to the IRS. And the IRS is ready to revoke 362,000 people's passports on U.S. citizens because they're in debt to the IRS. And it says it has to be a substantial debt. Well, what's substantial? I really don't know. To me, $1,000 would be substantial. With them, who knows? But that's another grasp, if you will, by the largest collection agency in the world that's totally unconstitutional, totally immoral. It is totally illegal, period, that now can revoke an American's passport if the IRS says he owes money. Now, how great a reach is that for the unlawful organization like the IRS, which, by the way, folks, is not government. It's a private entity. It's not a U.S. government agency, is it, Melanie?
No.
So, what gives them, the private entity, the right to revoke your passport if you owe the IRS money? I mean, what is this? This is total tyranny. But the people in America have been so duped down, they actually think the IRS is a government agency and has the authority to do what it's doing. Now, of course, if it doesn't do it, they'll put you in jail if you don't pay attention to them. They can seize your home. They even carry guns now. But that doesn't make it lawful, does it?
No, it doesn't. And if you go a little deeper into that, it's like, what is the government going to have to do in order to keep up with the citizen passports revocation and denials? They're going to have to hire people. There was estimates they'd have to hire up to 1,000 new tax officials and clerks just to handle this. And, you know, they don't talk about all of those that work for government. They don't talk about all of those who, you know, work in these very, you know, congressmen and senators and all the other employees who I wonder if their passports are going to be rejected. You don't hear anything about that. What about Sharpton? Doesn't he owe $4 million in back taxes?
Yes,
that he
does.
Hasn't paid? So this isn't any different, truly, than when they went after conservative, going after the
organizations, different things.
Organizations,
yeah.
Yes,
same thing. It is the same thing. And it's totally, 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 totally immoral. That's not to say unlawful, folks. I don't want, we need to understand this. I know we probably can't change it. I know that. It's been tried by many, many people. But it's totally unconstitutional. The IRS is not a government agency. It's a private collection agency for the corporate banks of this world, America, and probably the world, too. But now they have a right to take away your ability to travel if they want to. And back to some migration issues, I think this is telling also. You know, Melody, we're not the only nation in the country that's getting a little tired of illegal immigrants coming in. According to this article, the fatal solvent of the EU is mass migration. It says, far from leading to fusion, Europe's migration crisis is leading to fission. Stanford's historian Nala Ferguson recently wrote, increasingly, I believe that the issue of migration will be seen by future historians as a fatal solvent of the EU. Week after week, Mr. Ferguson's predictions seem to be returning into a reality. Not only does Europe continue to fragment as anti-immigration sentiment gathers political strength, but as a result of the migrant crisis, the EU's border-free internal zone, Europe's most cherished prize after the Second World War, is now defined as a risk by the Italian government, among other governments such as Austria. The new Italian populist government, after Italy saw more than 700,000 migrants arrive on its shores in the past 5 years, also embraced a hardline policy. Italian Interior Minister Matteo Salvini recently closed Italy's ports to migrant vessels. In Germany, after German Chancellor clashed on immigration with her interior minister, Horst Seehofer, migrant policy could also lead to the end of Merkel's tenure. So, immigration, whether it's legal or illegal, is causing problems all over the world. And nations are beginning to figure out they cannot absorb this. And places like Sweden and other places in Europe. Now, people want to hear this. I'm not saying you do what you want to with it. They're being invaded by Muslims. The women are being raped. People are being killed. It's just unbelievable that the devastation is going on in these countries that welcomed these people in with open arms. Really did. And now they wish to goodness they had never done that. So, Melody, these are things we need to pay heed to also. Illegal immigration, I don't care whether it's men of military age or old men or old women or and children, it's still illegal immigration. We have laws that's supposed to govern that. And I know these people might be desperate, but Mexico built a wall on her southern border to keep migrants out. Why are we any different? Why? And Italy said no more. Germany is saying no more, finally. And to make it rid of Merkel, which is a good thing. But it's people got to understand that we can't absorb all these people and pay their way forever, can we?
No, the cost is so great. And, you know, again, it baffles me why people don't understand the difference between legal and illegal.
Yes.
And, you know, what we need to do is enforce the laws we have on the books. I believe we need to make it perhaps a little easier for those who do want to become citizens. It shouldn't have to take 20 years. But I don't know. Maybe that is just the way it's supposed to be. Maybe that was a way to keep immigration at a controllable level.
A sustainable level, yes.
Sustainable level.
But
create all these different other programs, visas, the H-1B visas, and everything else.
Well, but you know, if they would at least make it require. Have the ability to find a job or do something and come here. Someone can live off of the people in this country. Some way or another to become a productive citizen. Some way that they can prove that they can feed themselves. I'm sorry they're hurting where they're at. I truly am. But break it down to our local level, Melody. I reared three sons and three boys. I want to tell you what, those boys could pack away the groceries. But we were blessed to have plenty to eat. And we had people come in, you know, sometimes. We had plenty of food to feed them. But if they start coming in by the hundreds, and between them and my family, I'd have to choose my family for food. That's just the way it is. It's not because I want to. It's a necessity because I can't feed them all. Well, and then on a national scale, it's the same thing. We have to take care of our own families first, and then we can do to help other people. But they have to be productive members. I mean, I've had people that want to actually move in around us and live on our property and say they want to live with us. That it can't happen. I can't afford to take care of them. Now, that may sound really rude as it comes from a pastor. I'll feed anybody one meal if I can, Melody, but I can't support the whole country. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I think what we've done wrong is we've opened the trade and we opened this free trade and we open the borders and so forth instead of... And again, Mexico is very corrupt. It used to be a joke in the gold business that we didn't sell pesos because the government was so corrupt you wouldn't know what was in the gold coin. That was in the early 90s and so forth. Now all governments are corrupt. But we didn't go down there and help them. I mean, to feed them and to a lot of these other countries and so forth that we bring over the refugees and so forth. Well, you know, show them how to sustain themselves in their own country. If they don't want to fight it for their own country where they're from, how do you think they're actually want to become Americans?
I agree.
If they can't fight for their own country, what makes them think that they'll fight for us?
A lot of them show up here that are already illegal in their own countries. We're done.
We are. Are you done?
I reckon so.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today, and we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here with Dave Allen. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
A single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my